Rav Sham Shifel Hirsch was born in 1808, passed away in 1888. He's from a strong family. His father was a merchant, you know, commerce, was into trade for a career, but he was a very chashuv Talmid Chacham, very devoted to Torah study. His grandfather was Rav Mendel Frankfurter, was the founder of the Talmud Torah in Hamburg. Oh, kind of cute, right? Rabbi Frankfurter lived in Hamburg. And his grandfather was a Rav, Rav Mendel Frankfurter, who was founded the Talmud Torah in Hamburg. He served as a Rav in a place called Altona, A-L-T-O-N-A. Although he did it without a salary. What? And where? Oh, yeah? He came from a very frum and educated family. Not necessarily one of rabbis, but or official rabbis, but a very chashuv family, a well-educated family, a prestigious family. His rebbeim and his talmidim, his rebbeim were, one of them was Rav Chaim Yitzchak Bernays when he was young, and he encouraged Rav Sham Shifel Hirsch to enter into the rabbinate against the family's will. Rav Chaim Yitzchak Bernays, B-E-R-N-A-Y-S. And so he's much more famous with Rav Yaakov Etlinger. Rav Yaakov Etlinger from Mannheim, M-A-N-N-H-E-I-M. He was very famous for writing a book called The Aruch Laner. He also wrote a sefer, another sefer called The Binyan Sion. And one of his major talmidim was Rav Shamshon Hirsch. He was also educated in the University of Bonn, B-O-N-N, Bonn, Bonn, I'm not sure to pronounce it. Also a broad thinker, as well as a very chashuv Talmid Chacham. His hashkafa, and he was really a product of Germany versus the East, Germany versus the ghetto. Germany was where the haskalah, the enlightenment, was taking place. And on one hand, Rav Sham Shifel Hirsch had one foot in that world, well-educated, interacting with the people, trying his best to lead the German Jews in the right direction. And on the other hand, he has give and take. He has letters and correspondence to the world of Lithuania, the much more closed-minded ghetto, the shtetl, different world. Again, one of the most important things is his response to the Haskalah. It's a post-Napoleon era, which means that people were now experiencing freedom that unparalleled to anything Europe had ever offered Jews. There's a new freedom. And along with this freedom came the freedom of thought, the desire to reform. Rav Sham Shifel Hirsch wrote to a generation who no longer would accept the teachings of the Torah based upon faith alone. He presented his presentation of Torah was deep and sophisticated, and he felt it was his job to speak to the well-educated, broad-minded, enlightened German community to maintain a sense of Frumkeit there. He believes, and one of his major hashkafic points, maybe the major one, and it's debated as to whether or not he intrinsically believes this or just was teaching it to the German Jews, is that Judaism's job, although I'm a big believer, it's the former. It's difficult for me to imagine he doesn't believe it. You read his stuff, it's drenched with the following thought. It's difficult to believe he doesn't believe it. Judaism's job is to educate the world, its values and of its messages, its ideas, its hashkafa. Am Yisrael was originally an Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, they failed as a nation and couldn't teach the world their ideology. So instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us into Galus to live scattered amongst the world, scattered amongst the nations of the world, where we're supposed to serve as an Or LaGoyim on an individualistic level, no longer to build a country, build a state that represents the values of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather to integrate into society. And the German Jews are supposed to show the beauty of Torah to Germany, and the Spanish Jews to Spain, and the French Jews to French, and the Australian Jews to Australia, etc., etc. The goal is for the Jews to be scattered around the world and be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim as best they can be. And being that he believes that, he was not one of the strong Zionists. Again, it is debated as to, he has a strong love for Eretz Yisrael, that for sure is true, but he was not a big Zionist, and when the Zionistic movement started developing in his time period, he was not a gung-ho Zionist. It's debated amongst people afterwards, historians and scholars, Rabbanim, as to whether or not Rav Sham Shifel Hirsch would have been a Zionist had he been privy to see HaKamas HaMedina, the Six Day War, and all sorts of events that took place later on. Really difficult to know. Yeah. I think he was really preaching to a Reform people and saying the best way, you believe that anyway, the best way to do it is via the Torah. Well, again, it's debated, although I'm a big believer. He really believed that's the goal of Jews. The goal of this world is to teach the society, to improve culture and society amongst the world. And the best way to do it is to serve as a role model nation, as individuals scattered around the world. That's what he believed was best. No, absolutely. Practice Judaism. Judaism believes in all sorts of things that would, you know, encourage the world to view us positively. Halacha is certainly one of them. Let me go a little more, and hopefully it'll come out a little more clearly. If it's still not clear, we'll get back. Rav Sham Shaphal Hirsch has several writings. One of them is called the 19 Letters. It was written in German. It's 19 different letters, give and take, to a teenage male college university student who is not interested in Judaism. He basically says, Rav Sham Shaphal Hirsch, prove to me God exists. And Rav Sham Shaphal Hirsch responds, I cannot prove to you God exists. But if I show you the beauty and the depth and the profundity of Torah, the sophisticated thought and the moral code, I think you'll probably become a believer even without proof. The letters build on each other and they're designed to answer questions about Jewish ideology, Jewish faith. There's more of a focus on what Judaism believes and less on whether or not it's true. He's like posts like we've shown him, we're trying to bring philosophical proofs that it's true, or debating Christians as to whether or not it's true. This is more or less, more along the lines of, this is what Judaism believes. And it's a vision for all of humanity. He values education. He values different types of commitment, different types of mitzvot. He values, and being that he wants to educate the world, and this is what his goal is, he stresses a lot more midrashim, a lot more psukim, a lot more hashkafa than gemara. There's less of an emphasis placed upon figuring out the halacha of a small detail that's totally not relevant halacha l'maisa, and there's more of an emphasis placed upon developing a hashkafa that can serve as a role model to the world. He wrote a commentary on the Siddur. He wrote a book called Chorev. In English, they call it Horav or Horav. They give that at bar mitzvahs a lot, which focuses on the possible meanings and symbols of religious precepts. It offers a rationale, an explanation for 613 mitzvahs. And he really tries his best to give details. Tries his best to have the reasons explain everything. For example, the Rambam, in contrast to the Rambam, who believes that all the details are irrelevant. God basically gives us mitzvahs, and he needs details, so he gives us details, but the details are not that important. The Rambam, the Mordechai Buchan, writes, you want to know why there are seven animals you're supposed to bring as a carbon? Well, if you would have brought eight, you'd want to know why there are eight. If Sham Shaphal Hirsch has no patience for something like that, he's going to explain every single detail all the way through. He also has a commentary on Chumash, as well as other Sfarim in Tanakh. In it, he deals with grammar, the makeup of Hebrew words, the shorash of Hebrew words. A lot of his stuff is creative there. He has a lot of interesting theories in Chumash. Some of the most famous ones are critique towards the Avos. It's a famous critique of Yitzchak's poor parenting ability. He writes that Yitzchak raised, almost to say, Yitzchak raised Esav the wrong way. One of the reasons why Esav went off the Derech is because he was raised the wrong way. That's what the Pasuk means. In other words, the Medrash quoting the Pasuk says that the two of them, Vayigdalu Hana'arim, they grew up the same way. How could you raise two children the wrong way? You got to be Mechanech Ich Nar Al Pidarko. Sham Shaphal Hirsch says Yitzchak was a wonderful person, but a poor father for Esav and helped turn him off the way, which is really an earth-shattering statement. Both on the level of his brazenness, is maybe too strong of a word, but ability, willingness to critique the Avos with, you know, his own creative thought and Hashkaf, and specifically the character development of the Avos and whether or not they were good parents is not something you'd find Rashi dealing with. It's not a question Rashi would be dealing with. You know what I mean? That not just because Rashi, it would probably be punishment to Rashi that it's good, but just beyond that, Rashi didn't just write on those levels. His major influence was the philosophy of what's called Torah in Derech Eretz. There are those who believe it's a precursory for modern orthodoxy. It probably was, whether or not it was designed to be. It probably was not designed to be. There are those And we're right, he schlepped Rav Shem Shavel Hirsch over to the Haredi camp. There are people in the Modern Orthodox world. We schlepped him over to the more Modern Orthodox world. He's probably somewhere in between. I don't think he's a Taramadinik. He was a Torah Darach Eretznik. Although it is debated how similar Torah Mada is to Torah Darach Eretz. Torah Darach Eretz probably has less of an emphasis on education, secular education, for its own sake, and much more of just being able to get a job, function in the world, is a Kashmir Shemayim that way. He was one of the most influential philosophers in terms of being a pivotal philosopher in the sense that early, before Rav Shem Shavuel Hirsch, people did not focus as much on Olam Hazeh. Hirschian philosophy, Rav Shem Shavuel Hirsch was one of the first Jewish thinkers who really focused on Olam Hazeh. Meaning, the Musar you hear today is much more post-Hirschian philosophy. You would not hear the Musar of, do you know what it does to the Olam Ha'Elyonos when you're Mevatel Torah? No one gives that Musar. You know what I mean? Do you know how it stains your neshama and how it'll be stained to the next world when you dress like that, when you talk that way, when you say things like that? That's not exactly the Musar you hear. The Musar we hear more days, more or less in our days is, well, don't you want to dress in a dignified way? Don't you want to speak in a dignified way? Do you realize what Torah can, the impact Torah can have on your religious makeup and your personality? You know what I'm saying? Usually, the Rishonim spoke most about what's going to be an Olam Haba. The earlier Achronim spoke a lot about your soul and different paths the soul took in life. And the more modern thinkers speak a lot more about Olam Hazeh. I'm not saying that it's a machlokas, although some of it is, and there are those who believe a lot of it is. It could just be what speaks to different generations. When I give Musar, I hardly ever speak about the Olam Ha'Elyonos. It's not because I don't think anything happens in them. To be honest, I don't know what happens in them. I just think the crowd I'm speaking to is more receptive to a more Olam Hazeh presentation, model. And I think that was a critical point. He was really a turning point in that, you know, type of philosophy that's learned from, again, earlier in the Rishonim, where they spoke about Olam Haba and how to get into Olam Haba and what goes out of Olam Haba. So the earlier Achronim, we talked about different, you know, journeys of the soul, the worlds it passes through. Rosh Hashanah Shavuot Hirsch really was the first one to start talking about Olam Hazeh from the earlier Achronim. He was that transitional, pivotal person, pivotal thinker. Just in terms of his career, I'll mention it briefly. He was a Rav in Oldenburg in 1830. He wrote a lot there. He moved to Emden in 1841. He was in Nikolsburg in 1846. These are all cities in Germany. Nikolsburg was a city in Moravia where he received a lot of critique. One of the most famous critique was, before Hirsch we were studying Talmud and reading Tehillim. Now we are studying Tehillim and reading Talmud. Oldenburg, 1830. And there was a little bit of controversy about Rav Shem Shavuel Hirsch. The Lithuanian world, the more yeshivish world, the more ghetto world, the more shtetl world, was somewhat critical of his open-minded thought, partially because it was new, partially because it was different. Some were much more accepting of it because they said, hey, he's just talking to the German public. However, there was less of an emphasis on Gemara and more towards Tanakh and Machshav and philosophy. Some people embraced it while others were critical of it. In 1851, he went to Frankfurt. He worked for the Israelite Religious Society, which is a community which has great other, 500 families, and a lot of community work there as well. He had a good relationship with a lot of the Gedolim, but we'll leave that out now. We're short on time. We'll stop here. And the Mirat Hashem next week, we'll try our best to deal with two more different Jewish philosophers.